This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover. Good evening, good night, goodbye, Al.
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. It's Monday, November 14th. We got another week to go till Thanksgiving is upon us. I mean, this year has gone by fast. 41 days till Christmas? Did that be right?
Yeah.
51 days?
Sounds about
something
right.
Like that. Have you done your Christmas shopping or Hanukkah shopping? Oi!
No.
Turkeys are up in price thanks to Joe Biden's Build Back Better, or should say, you know, what is it? His Build Back Better phony program. So, turkeys have doubled in price over last year, so gobble that one up. It's just been going to be an interesting holiday season, isn't it?
Always is. This one especially. A lot happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot's happening, and let's get PGA news really quick. Tony Finau gets his fifth PGA Tour win, and he wins the Bank of Houston Open by four strokes over Jason Alexander, who's the son of longtime University of Florida golf coach Buddy Alexander. Finau just played absolutely great. I don't know how if you watched it, but I watched all 4 days, and he just lit it up on Saturday and played kind of mediocre on Friday, but found it, came back Saturday and just freaking went nutso. And then yesterday he shot a nice four under, I think, 68, and he ended up winning by four shots. So congratulations to Tony Finau for his fifth PGA Tour victory. And this guy,
yep,
it's just really cool to see how well he's playing.
Mm-hmm. Very class individual, too. Fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that short backswing, hits the ball a mile. And speaking of hitting the ball a mile, I don't know if you caught this, but I did watch the senior PGA, the Champions Tour. This 51-year-old Stephen Alker was the leader going into this weekend's tournaments of the Charles Schwab Cup. Alker, who's been a journeyman on the PGA Tour, you know, was making a comeback playing the sub-tours, which is the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, kind of never really could make it. Got on the senior PGA Tour, and he started lighting it up. Won a couple of times. I think he's had three wins this past year, or four wins. Surged to the lead. But Patrick Harrington of Ireland, who it's hard to believe that he's 50 years old, is hitting the ball as good, as if not better, than when he played on the PGA Tour. And he dominated the field this week. He blistered the field all weekend, shooting a 9-under-62 on Saturday to take a five-shot lead into Sunday. And then on Sunday, Harrington backed up the 62, the 9-under-62 with a 6-under-65 to win the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup tournament by 7 strokes over Alex Cheka and 8 strokes over the Charles Schwab Cup leader going into this last tournament, Stephen Alker. Well, the cool thing was for Stephen Alker, he had a finish tied for fifth or better. Alker, he parred the last hole. He made a par putt on the 18th hole of the final day of the tournament to secure a third-place solo finish, and he wins the $1 million Charles Schwab Cup bonus. And so he secures his card for, I think, 5 years on the Champions Tour. And if you've never seen this guy, I don't know if you've seen him play, Al, but he's got the simplest swing and the smoothest swing, and he hits the ball a ton for a guy who's like 5'10". And it was just really cool to watch. And in the meantime, you got Harrington going out there, and he's blistering the field. This guy, Harrington, is just on fire. I just can't believe how well he's playing. And it's so nice to see, you know, some of these old guys, they're resurging. They found a new life in their 50s. But congratulations to Stephen Alker.
Yeah, it's good to see. This is a tough sport. So for his comeback, kudos to him. Like I said, Patrick Harrington, 27 under.
Oh, he could just
on four rounds. That's
amazing.
That's
isn't
six
it?
Under. Yeah, that's 6 under plus 3 more birdies every round.
Every round. Unbelievable. At Saturday, I was mesmerized by what he was doing. It's like, boom, draining this, boom, off the green, draining a pot. I was like, wow. It was really cool to watch. So some good sports. And, of course, Saturday was college football. And really the only change was, you know, everybody's been high on Oregon, the Oregon Ducks, but they kind of quacked up against the Washington Huskies, and they got beat 37-34. And so their sixth ranking, I'm sure, is in jeopardy. But the other top 10 teams all won, including Clemson beating Louisville, Alabama squeaked by Ole Miss, number 11, LSU squeaked by Arkansas in an SEC rivalry game.
Big upset.
Big upset, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was close. Missouri lost to Tennessee. Tennessee destroyed them 66-24. TCU squeaked by Texas, and so Texas, they got 4 losses, they're probably going to be a team to be concerned about next year. And then Georgia destroyed Mississippi State 45-19. So the only thing that'll be a mix up is going to be in the latter part of the top 10, with probably Oregon going down to number 10, I would think, and everybody else moving up. So. Interesting. Other than that,
yeah, exciting times in golf. So, watch golf.
And
watch college football.
Your Florida State Seminoles won again, and they won big time over Syracuse. So, congratulations.
Yep, that was a big victory in the Iowa.
Syracuse.
Yep, and Iowa as well for Hank.
Oh,
Hank, I'm sure was watching that game. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So all in all, pretty good, pretty good. And Florida State is now 7-3. So congratulations on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows last Tuesday was the election day. Now, in case people aren't aware of it, election day, according to U.S. Code subsection 7, is the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November in every even-numbered year. is established as the day for election in each state, each of the states and territories of the United States, of representatives and delegates to Congress. And I'm not sure what part of that federal statute is unclear. And I say that because, you know, I was doing some reviewing of the election results. And did you know that Arizona began their early voting on October the 12th? Now, that's basically almost a month, 30 days beforehand, and they're still counting votes in Arizona. They're still counting votes in Arizona. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but there's something wrong. Pennsylvania began voting September 16th. Now, according to U.S. Code subsection 7, the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November in every even-numbered year is established as the day for election in each of the states and territories of the United States. Now, what part of that are we having difficulty understanding as Americans? Do we need to educate Americans? Do we need to, what needs to be done to make this even clearer? Is it just too convoluted by saying the first Monday, the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November? I mean, what is it that is not comprehended? Is this something that needs to be taught in elementary school all the way up through high school in order for kids to retain this? I'm not sure I understand what the problem is. We keep trying to make it easier and easier for people to vote, and we keep moving the election day, you know, further and further back, and yet you still have the same problems where you can't, Arizona can't, they can't conclude their voting. Alaska can't conclude their voting.
No, it could be part of freedom and liberty itself, because every state has the right to make their own voting laws and how they enforce them, how they conduct the vote. They are not ruled over by federal mandate. So every state does their own thing. Arizona does their thing very badly. Florida, for example, was no flaws. Everything went perfect.
Yeah, and you remember Florida, the issue with Florida was always Broward County. And I believe it was then-Governor Rick Scott remedied that situation pretty clearly when he fired the supervisor of election in Broward County and put in someone solid. He didn't have to go after a special prosecutor. but I couldn't resist. But Governor Rick Scott, he had enough of the nonsense that was going on in Broward County, Florida, which is Fort Lauderdale, pretty much Fort Lauderdale region, just north of Miami. And lo and behold, once he sent the message that he was no longer going to stand for the kind of antics that were going on in South Florida, all of a sudden, voter irregularity, voter impropriety, hanging chads were a thing of the past. And now in the last two elections, Broward County has gotten their act together, as, of course, the rest of the state of Florida had their act together. I'm not sure what's going on in Arizona, but it's always the same culprits. Maricopa County, Puma County? All having the same problems that no other state is having at this point.
Yep. One problem that was even confirmed by the officials is that, I don't know, tens of thousands of votes are mixed in, counted and uncounted. So somebody mistakenly put uncounted votes into the area of counted votes, so they never got counted. And something like that does not happen by mistake.
No.
And the media just blows it off as, oh, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. And that's a big problem. How do you fix it? You got to get the right people in. And the Democrats have to get off their ass and fire these corrupt politicians and these corrupt election officials. But they will not do that because they like this. They want this corruption because they control it.
Ah, bingo. That's exactly right. And it, you know what? It's not it's something that you're not supposed to say, okay? Because in Arizona, they recently launched the Arizona Democracy Resilience Network to suppress discussion of voter fraud among candidates and combat election misinformation. Among the group's demands are that candidates and candidates cooperate with election officials and avoid spreading falsehoods. Now, I don't know about you, but when you continue to have these irregularities in voting, you have nothing but bringing out conspiracy theories. You have nothing but speculation. And you know what? You have frustration. Because when this is not happening in other states, and when you have a supervisor of elections or a secretary of state who's supposed to oversee, you know, these types of issues and to make sure that the voting becomes seamless, okay, the election becomes seamless, and it's not happening. And then you have an individual, Katie Hobbs, who is the Secretary of State, who's responsible for the election process in the state of Arizona, who's now running for governor, and she can't even conduct an election without any improprieties. So, you know, the people of Arizona are suffering on two hands because God forbid she is elected or named as the winner in Arizona. I mean, given the fact that she can't conduct or run a legitimate election process in Arizona, how the hell is she going to be as governor? She'll be a freaking disaster as governor. But you know what? I went out on a limb on that one. You know, she ran a campaign that was just like Joe Biden, hide in the basement, avoid her opponent, which would be Carrie Lake, because she knew that Carrie Lake was more articulate and had the issues down very well, and then start accusing Carrie Lake of whatever, and the media would defend, you know, the coward cat Katie Hobbs, and it worked out pretty well for her. And then, of course, you had Maricopa County, Pima County, with the voter irregularities, the machines suddenly breaking. It just creates a vision, a clouded vision once again in Arizona. But how do you go ahead and stop this nonsense? There's a video, Iggy Mom, I saw a video that she had tweeted out, and Doug Gibbs did a nice little 6-minute video on how you run an election and you bring it back to how the founders intended. And the founders intended to have each precinct be counted and the results then sent up to the supervisors of elections. And now you've got a paper trail. Each precinct certifies their election. You bring it back to the base. And forget about all this noise about going to the state of Florida or the state of New York, going up to Albany, New York. And you have each precinct be hand-counted. And once each precinct is hand-counted, they, the precincts, send their results, okay, to the supervisors of elections. Then if you have any voter irregularity or you have any voter questions, you go back to each precinct, because if let's say you're in New Hampshire and you have 625 eligible voters and you get 1,100 votes coming in and it's precinct one in New Hampshire, at least you know you don't have to go back through all, you know, 150,000 votes or 200,000 votes. You go back to that precinct. Okay, why do you have 400 or 500 more votes counted than people are registered? It's statistically, it's impossible. And you hold each precinct accountable. And then you stop this nonsense with voting October 12th. You stop this nonsense voting September 16th. Okay? Election day is pretty clear. And we have a U.S. code. Remember the rule of law, this cliche that the Democrat Party likes to throw out, you know, this meaningless, the rule of law. Well, the rule of law states that Election Day is the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November, and every even-numbered year is established as the day for election in each of the states and territories of the United States. It's not a mystery. You create a check and balance in each precinct, and Election Day is the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. It's been that way for over 100 years. Now, if for some reason you don't have the ability to physically attend your precinct, then absentee ballots certainly are a means to vote, but not through ballot boxes, through the mail. And it's stipulated, I was reading through the state of Florida, all 67 counties in the state of Florida require you to have your votes in, your mail-in ballot is in by 7 o'clock p.m. on Election Day. Not 10 p.m. of Election Day, not the Wednesday following Election Day, not 7 days after Election Day, but it has to be into the supervisor of election in your county by 7 p.m. on Election Day. Now, I don't know how much clearer the state of Florida has to make that. Oh, and by the way, I hear people say, well, you know, you, what if you're in a different time zone? Or is it 7 p.m. Eastern? You know, it's 7 p.m. when your polling place is closed. So in Panama City, which is the panhandle of Florida, they're in a different time zone than the rest of the state of Florida. I think it's Bay County, Washington County, and whatever county Panama City is in. They are at a 1 hour behind. At 7 o'clock their time, your vote, your ballot has to be in to the supervisor of election in order to count. Why in the state of Pennsylvania are they still allowing votes to be accepted on Monday, November 14th? When Election Day was November 8th. Why? Are they trying to achieve a certain outcome? So, you know, it's time that we start speaking out, we the people start speaking out and stating that this is totally unacceptable the way the system works. Okay? This attempt by the left-wing cabal in the United States of America to create chaos in elections, chaos that we're seeing in Arizona, chaos that we're seeing in Pennsylvania, chaos that we're seeing in Alaska, has got to stop. And if we are truly serious about the rule of law, we have a rule of law in the United States of America. And that rule of law is pretty clear. It's called U.S. Code Subsection 7. And you want to make it any clearer, Election Day is the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November in every even-numbered year. Now, if you're too stupid to know what an even-numbered year is, then you don't deserve to vote. If you can't get your ballot into your county by 7 p.m. of Election Day, your vote doesn't count, so you can kick and scream. But when you have 61% of the people voting, okay, then you have to take responsibility for your actions. The only thing our founders want you to do is to take responsibility twice every 2 years. One day every 2 years, our founders want you to take responsibility. As an American, the privilege, the freedom, the liberty to vote. You just every 2 years, you have one day of responsibility. You could screw off the rest of the 364 days. Just one freaking day a year, every 2 years, you have the responsibility to vote. You have the responsibility, if you vote absentee, to get your ballot in by 7 p.m. on Election Day. Not 8 p.m., not 9 p.m., not 10 p.m., 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday following the first Monday of Election Day. And some counties in Florida state that if you don't get your ballot in by or postmarked by a certain day in October, it may not be delivered in time. So if you cannot make it to the poll, your polling place, you have an option. We don't need ballot boxes because then it promotes fraud, as we saw with 2,000 mules. And by the way, for everybody that's talking about, well, all these people going election denier, 2,000 mules, there are at least 7 mules that have been convicted as a result, or I'm sorry, charged with voter fraud as a result of that documentary, 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza. So stop with all the noise, okay? Get rid of these ballot boxes that are, what do they call them now, those ballot boxes. Get rid of them. Just get rid of them.
Oh, the drop boxes.
The drop boxes. You want to promote fraud? Get rid of them. If this is what the cliche is, the rule of law, okay, and you don't want election deniers who are questioning the validity of a race, of an election, then let's make it real easy. What the hell? How is it that the state of Florida with 21 million people and how many, 9 million voters and they 10 million voters, 12 million voters, and they get the election done that same day? 3.92 million people in Arizona are eligible to vote, and a week later we're still counting votes.
Well, this year I did mail in balloting in Florida, and I mailed in my ballot. And within 2 days, I got an email from the election supervisor saying, "We have received your mail-in ballot. Thank you very much for voting." I thought
Beautiful.
That was way cool.
Yes.
And it worked out perfect. And then on the November 8th, I poll watched this year.
Oh, how'd it go?
And, oh, it was fantastic. I did the closing shift. From 3 to 8, polls closed at 7 and then stayed there for all the tabulations. It was smooth and was perfect. They had 609 people go through my district in like 3 hours, about 3 hours, which is quite a good number, good steady flow. And the people, they went and signed in, they checked their IDs and their address. There's one person who was trying to vote in multiple districts, and they got rid of her real fast, and she ended up leaving quickly. And they gave the ballots to the individual. The individual filled out the ballots, took it to the machine on the other side of the room that was manned by a poll worker. The poll worker said, "Okay, you need to put your ballot into that slot." And then after they were done, okay, now you can go to that table and get your I voted little sticker for your shirt.
Okay.
There were no problems. And then after 7 o'clock, after all the people were in line, took about a half hour, 40 minutes to get everything cleaned up. Then they pulled a tally off of the voting machine, and I counted the number when I got there. I counted the number when I left. And so they pulled all the numbers. They had a nice, like a receipt came out of the machine.
Okay.
And the poll worker verified what was on the receipt with two other people to make sure that they were all in agreement with the number of ballots that came, that went, were accepted. People who came through the line and the number of ballots that went through the machine matched up.
Wow.
So
there were two different types of security. So the people that handed out votes, that number matched the number of votes that were tallied.
Right. Whoever came in and went through the process to get a ballot, that number matched the number of ballots that went through the machine. So everybody that came in, their votes were corroborated and counted, and it worked very smoothly.
Now, did it work smoothly with regards to the 7 p.m. deadline? Whoever was in line at 7 o'clock, that was that person was eligible to vote. That was true to form, correct?
Right. The minute it turned 7, poll worker went to the back of the line and closed the door, and he remained at the back of the line until all the voters in front of him voted.
Any issues with that? Anybody yell and scream or no?
Well, somebody came in late. They were at the wrong polling station, and they were just SOL. They came in at 5 tell. They went to the wrong precinct, and they weren't able to vote, as it should be.
Right.
And I mean, there were no Democrats in sight. It's a Republican-led county. So that is the big difference.
Huh. Did you guys use plywood to cover the windows?
It was in a gym. There were no windows.
Oh, okay. All right.
But Antifa was out front keeping people out.
No,
it was smooth and easy. As a well-run Republican machine. Democrats, however, where all the problems are. Just a fact. It just is.
Yeah, and I want to thank Big for correcting me. It's Pima County in Arizona, not Puma. I think I said Puma twice. So it's P-I-M-A, which is another name for a cougar. So Pima County, and you had Maricopa County that were problems. And also Big put in the link for Doug Gibbs. For Doug Gibbs' blog, it's a great blog, and it's about votes being counted at precincts. What our founders put in place, or our founders put something in. I believe it was our founders put in place, and it's a really good 6 minutes, and he articulates it very well. Everything starts at the grassroots. And accountability and checks and balances. And obviously, Al, in your precinct, you had checks and balances. You had the people who were handing out, distributing the ballots when the voters came in. That number had to match the number that was run through the machines and or any problem ballots, and everything matched. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be. So now that precinct
and then
is in check.
Right. And where the ballots went after the poll – they came in, they picked up the ballots, and off they went. They had that receipt to go with each ballot machine. So those tallies, and they were tallied up at the official counting room, there is a receipt to back up each machine. So there is, in that respect, there's very little room for chicanery or cheating. Now in Arizona, they've got a strange rule. Their rule is like you said, they started open voting October 12th. Well, they didn't start counting all those votes that came in from October 12th to November 8th. They didn't start counting those ballots until the morning of November 8th. So they didn't keep a running tab as the votes came in every day as a check and balance. So they made their own recipe for corruption. And if you're corrupt and you want to win elections, well, it doesn't matter how you do it. You just do it. And that is how you do it. You run a sloppy operation. So the Democrats are 100% responsible for what's happening in Arizona. And if you scold them, they'll go, "Don't be mad at me. We're just not getting Republicans elected. So screw you."
I was looking at the states and seeing when they start to vote. I mean, it's like, I don't know how much more we can cater to people, to the American people to vote. You know, the whining over the years and, oh, we have to have early vote. Oh, standing in line. And so people stand in line for 2-3 hours for a concert, okay, to get tickets to see, you know, Harvey Schwartz sing at the Met. But, you know, to stand in line for an hour, 20 minutes, 25 minutes to vote and do your legal duty just once every 2 years, one day of the year, every 2 years, which people across the world, some people, you know, in third world countries pine for the ability to have the freedom to vote and know that they're not going to get killed, you know, if they vote the wrong way. And it's mind-boggling how Arizona begins September 12th. Pennsylvania starts September 16th. September 16th, they start voting. It is absolutely incredible how we've catered and dumbed America down so much. We made it a lazy country.
Mm-hmm. No, it's up to the governor of the state to fix it. So that's a flaw in the liberty and freedom and justice, and that we love so much is state rights over federal rights. And this is one of the negatives of that, where a federal, a uniform federal voting act sounds really good, but I'd still rather have it states do their own thing.
Agreed. Agreed. The federal government federalized elections, and that's when everything went to hell. And also, you know, Doug Gibbs also talks about that with regards to the founders never, never intended to federalize elections. Never. And this is another slap at our democracy, okay, that the Democrats so desperately want to use the term democracy is at stake. Yeah, the Democrats have perverted our constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm. And the Democrats, they hate Republicans so much that they call our country being run as a democracy because they hate Republicans. They don't want to say that we are a republic, which we are, because it sounds like Republicans. They don't want to say anything good about Republicans, so they lie and they say, oh, well, we live in a democracy. No, we don't.
That is correct. Just so there was a couple of good things that came out of the election, obviously. It's amazing how the northeastern states, northeastern commie states, the northeastern states decide that they would like to remain blue. You've got in Massachusetts, Healy, the Democrat, easily won. She trounced her Republican opponent to win the governorship in Massachusetts. So to say that state's going to go red or is going to go Republican is also a pipe dream. Again, the Democrat Party rules, the destructive Democrat Party rules Massachusetts. It semi-rules the state of New Hampshire, although they did, you know, reelect the Republican governor. A couple of improprieties out of the New Hampshire Senate race with Hassan and Bullock, I think his name is, Bullock. Hassan won by something like 56,000 votes, but today it comes out that in one precinct there were 695 registered voters, but in that precinct they had over 1,100 votes counted. So here again, you know, we talk about going back to paper ballots and holding the precincts accountable and as it should be. But how in the world could you have, you know, over 500 or about 500 more votes cast in your small precinct? 695 registered voters and 1,100 people voted. Oh, well, just an error, you know, but multiply that times the number of precincts and suddenly you have, you know, 56,000 votes. I'm not saying that that's what happened in every precinct, but certainly it happens all too frequent. In House Race 1 up in Alaska, I wondered how the Democrat, Paltola, garnered so many votes, beat Sarah Palin by 50,000 votes. And I'm looking at it going, Sarah Palin got 57,000 votes, and the Democrat Paltola got 101,000 votes. It's like, so I went into that particular race and opened it up and saw there were two Republicans running. So the Republican Party made sure that they were going to dilute that vote in order for a Democrat to win U.S. congressional seat one by splitting the vote. Sarah Palin gets 57,000 votes to Paltola getting 101,000 votes. The other Republican, Begich, gets 51,927 votes. Now, had all those votes, had all the Republicans consolidated, I'm not saying that she would have gotten all 51,900 votes, but it's very possible that would have put her over the top to beat, you know, Peltola. So why in the world would the establishment field another Republican in such a small state with 250,000 people voting? I mean, this is incredible. The self-destruction by the cabal in order to ensure that the left wing continues their destructive rule of America. And again, where is the governor of the state? Where is the leadership in the Republican Party of Alaska to ensure that this doesn't happen? Murkowski looks like she's going to lose that seat by 3,000 votes for the U.S. Senate race. Chewbacca has 94,138 votes, and Murkowski right now has 91,205. Now, they're not yet done counting, so, you know, Murkowski will find another 20-something thousand votes as she does every time she runs, like when she beat Joe Kelly. The Arizona governor's race wasn't even close. Dunleavy, the Republican, got 111,897 votes, and Gara got 49,000 votes. So they had 161,000 people vote in the governor's race for Alaska, but yet they had over 185,000 people vote in the U.S. Senate race, which features Chewbacca and Murkowski. And then, of course, in Florida, you had Governor Ron DeSantis trounced Charlie Crist, the feckless perennial, what would you call him, politico, left-wing politician who likes to run for every office that he can. I guess Charlie just didn't want to be in politics any longer. And then Marco Rubio trounced Val Demings to hold that U.S. Senate seat in Florida. So, and the Republicans actually did well. The Soros-sponsored Attorney General Ayala got beat by Ashley Moody pretty handedly. That was a 20-point spread as well, and that was really good to see. That was a rebuke of George Soros. George Soros, as you all know, is a cancer in America. He's a cancer in American politics, and it's nice to see that the people of Florida rebuke George Soros and his left-wing commie candidates. Ayala had a track record where she was removed from as the state's attorney in a case that involved a scumbag shooting and killing Deborah Clayton, the sergeant, Orlando police sergeant, who was shot point blank 5 times by a scumbag felon who shot and killed his pregnant girlfriend. So Ayala reemerged on the state level to run for the attorney general's position, but Ashley Moody prevailed. And actually, the Republicans did very well. So looks like Florida is in good shape. And then Georgia, you had Brian Kemp easily defeated what's her name? The buffet lady, Stacey Abrams. So hopefully, you know, that state is done with Abrams at least running for governor. Brian Kemp won that race pretty handedly. And then Governor Abbott defeated, I have no idea what this guy does, but Robert Beto O'Rourke seems to be running for public office, but he has no accomplishments whatsoever. I mean, other than I guess he was a member of the U.S. House at one point back in the early 2000s, but now he's been trying to run for governor. But it's nice to see that the people of Texas didn't buy Beta's bullshit, and they sent him packing as well. So it was nice to see some good results out there. Vermont overwhelmingly went for a Republican as governor, which is also incredible. So that tells you the people of Vermont, you know, don't want these left wings ruling them. But then, you know, U.S. Senate, they voted a Democrat to replace Leahy. So what's your take on the election overall?
We got the House. So we got the House by a slim margin. That's good enough. We'll be able to put the brakes, hopefully, on things. And if the rhino establishment Republicans do not take over, too bad. I think we'll be all right. But I'd love to have the Senate, which we should have gotten. And, yes, but I'll take one out of two any day.
Yeah, and, you know, now's the time not to give up with regards to the Senate. And I'm glad you brought that up because the Senate now is – it looks like it could be a 50-50 divide. But the people of Georgia now have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to reject the radicalism of the left. They have an opportunity to reject the anti-American belief system of the left wing by voting for Warnock. I mean, Warnock is a left-wing Democrat. There's nothing American about his politics. Again, it's this whole false notion of democracy, and that's just a slogan. It's a meaningless soundbite. It's a cliche by the Democrat Party. So an opportunity has arisen for Georgia to change things. And Georgians, you know, it's time to step up. You have an individual in Herschel Walker, okay? Put everything aside, okay? Forget about what happened on November the 8th. Your opportunity now has arisen. And it means that you want to send a message to Washington, D.C. At stake in these midterms, do we want to continue down a road of $5 a gallon gasoline? And I guess yes was the answer, you know, by the virtue of voting for the Senate that we did, but at least we've taken the House back. Heating oil continues to strap Americans here in the Northeast with prices are between $4 and $5 a gallon. They've risen over 300% in just 21 short months. Open borders. We have a regime in Washington, D.C. that has intentionally opened up U.S. borders to illegal aliens who are invading America. You have open borders to drug traffickers bringing in, you know, drugs that are killing our kids. They're getting our kids addicted and they're killing them. Human traffickers coming in, trafficking, you know, young girls. And the drug cartels are emboldened by the installation of Biden and border czar Kamala Harris, who intentionally abandoned the southern U.S. border, enabling drug cartels. So now it's time. It's time for Georgians to send a message to Washington, D.C. We aren't going to take the radicalism of Warnock any longer. We're going to go with a patriot, a Georgia bulldog, for that matter, in Herschel Walker. Forget about all the money that was spent, the hundreds of millions of dollars, the millions that were poured in to reelect Warnock to make sure that he got over the 50% threshold. That didn't happen. Forget about the treasonous comments by Mitch McConnell. Well, you know, the quality of GOP candidates, that's hogwash. Okay? The quality of Democrat Party candidates is abysmal. You're telling me that Fetterman is better than Oz? You're telling us that Democrats actually fielded quality candidates? Well, now we have an opportunity, or I should say Georgians have an opportunity. And the opportunity for Georgians is to elect Herschel Walker. And your vote does count in that runoff. Your vote counts. Each and every vote counts. You can send a message to Washington, D.C. that enough is enough and that what happens in this race in 2022, in this race in Georgia, will set the tone for 2024 because the Democrat Party is on its heels. As much as they want to define the Republican Party, as much as they want to define each and every Republican as a MAGA individual, and since when making America great again is a bad thing? Since when? Go back to 1776 when King George thought that the patriots in America were bad individuals because they didn't want to be ruled by such a despotic individual like King George. Hence, you know, fast forward to 2022 and you've got dictator Joe Biden who decides that they are going to arbitrarily define each and every Republican candidate as a MAGA candidate, making America great again. And that's a bad thing? Since when is making America great a bad thing? You have, in Georgia, Don't be slapped around by these left-wingers. You have an opportunity to send a message, and a positive and clear message, that we're not going to take your garbage any longer. The House is going to be under Republican majority. Not sure it's going to be how much rule that's going to be, but we'll see who's going to be elected Speaker of the House. But send a message to Washington, D.C., that we're through with these anti-constitutionalists being put into the United States Senate. Making America great is not a bad thing. I'm still mystified as to how being a patriot in the United States, believing in the United States of America, is now a radical thing. We have a president who doesn't even know where the hell he is half the time. And this weekend was no exception. He's in Cambodia and he's talking about being in Colombia. Well, you know, Vito, it does, they both have a C to it. Well, why didn't he say Charleston, South Carolina? I mean, Biden is an embarrassment. And, you know, the Democrat Party continues to take advantage of the American people. And let's put a stop to this. Let's put a stop to this in this special election, this runoff election that's going to occur in Georgia. You can elect Brian Kemp. You can re-elect Brian Kemp, and rightly so, who's done a very good job in the state of Georgia, running Georgia. And it's time to put Herschel Walker in the United States Senate. I don't see where being a patriot is a bad thing, where being a patriot is a terroristic thing. Excuse me, but making America great, it's exactly what our patriots wanted. I don't think Thomas Jefferson was a radical. I don't think John Hancock was a radical. I don't think Ben Franklin was a terrorist. And it seems like we've come full circle. Now making America great is a bad thing. Oh, my God, you can espouse. And that was the actual intent of Biden and the Democrat Party, was making sure that they subconsciously define Republicans as MAGA. It didn't matter if you were supported by Donald Trump or not supported by Donald Trump. The fact is that you were defined as a MAGA, and they try to create that as a negativism. But what is MAGA? MAGA is Make America Great. Didn't realize it was even a party or a movement. The Tea Party was a movement, and look how quickly Barack Obama dispatched the Tea Party using the IRS, no less, a government agency to squash a political opponent. And now you have the same thing. Remember, it was Obama-Biden administration who did that, and now you've got the Biden administration seeking to squash Making America Great. And this buffoon's in China right now, making a total ass of himself. Did you see, Al, how the photos that came out of Biden and Trudeau walking down the hallway, and they are both dressed up like Mao?
Hilarious.
Hilarious. But since when does an American president submit himself to dress like a communist? Unless, of course, you believe in that system. What the hell was that? Oh,
at a climate meeting.
Oh, yeah, right.
The man-made climate change meeting in the Mao dress. That's Marxist, communist. Why would I think that's a window into how President Biden's politics really are. Often what people do, not what they say, is the true test of a man's character or a woman's character. And we know Macron. We know he is a Marxist from day one. And now it's confirmed that President Biden is a Marxist. So what we need to do is when President Biden finally says, puts his hat in the ring, we need to support him 100%.
Huh? Oh,
that's right.
Gotcha. Like all Marxists. That's right. Like all communists,
no,
right? Oh.
No, well, when President Trump puts his hat in the ring Tuesday or Wednesday, hopefully, officially says he's going to run for president, the Republican Party has to stand behind him 100%.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I really, first of all, wait, let's go back to Dopey Joe, and I don't know who's advising this guy. I mean, who in their right mind dresses up, you know, Dopey Joe Biden in a Chairman Mao outfit? I mean, who thought that was a good optic? And again, does this goes to show how far gone Joe Biden truly is? You know, last week he was lamenting how I'm a capitalist. You're not a capitalist. You're a communist. And as you said, this optic that came out today confirms that. I don't know who's advising this guy.
And then on NBC, I don't know if you saw this story, but Dr. John Torres, the NBC News medical correspondent, he suggests to avoid physical interaction with unvaccinated individuals ahead of the holidays. Haven't these people been totally, I don't know, destroyed intellectually? Why is anybody even listening to them? But they are, and they will. So expect this attack on the unvaccinated individuals. Expect those attacks to ramp up going into the holidays.
Yeah, and why is that? Because, see, with the media in this country being of the left-wing persuasion, 92 to 94%, I think it's higher, I think it's 97%, you have the few outliers, Newsmax, maybe one or two hosts on Fox, and I don't know if OANN is still in existence, but, you know, they, and then you have Sky News in Australia. But nobody rejected the radicalism of the lockdowns. And I think it was Holger that called it the tyrannical lockdowns of America. And I'm not sure how these people aren't summarily rejected. But they certainly are emboldened, you know, by their cause in order to condition Americans into seeing that that America is locked down once again. Yeah, people have embraced the lockdown tyranny, and somehow Dr. Torres thinks it's fashionable now in time for the holiday to keep people away from each other.
Yeah, well, I've got a message for Dr. Torres.
What's
today
that?
I gave blood. I gave blood today. I give whole blood every 3 months. And I gave blood today, and you have to fill out a little questionnaire. They ask you about all these diseases you had, if you've done this with people, if you've been in prison, tattoos, whatever. They get your whole life story. One of the questions, are you unvaccinated? And I put yes, and I still gave blood. But it was interesting that it was on there. So now they know that I'm unvaccinated and they still took my blood. So if Dr. Torres, God forbid, should be in a car accident and my blood is the only pint of blood that's going to save his life, he better say no. Because he doesn't want to interact with my forget about me as an individual. He will not want to interact with my unvaccinated blood, which everybody knows is bullshit because he'll use it right off to save his life. Of course he'll use unvaccinated blood. So that shows that this guy is a disingenuous piece of human garbage scaring people and trying to cause discord among the family units as we go into holidays after we are finally getting back to normal, after all of these vaccination mandates have been lifted. We can go. We don't have to mask. We don't have to get shots. In fact, they're even reinstating public workers and military who are active military who decided not to get the vaccine. They're now getting reinstated back to their jobs. Some of them with back pay. Yeah, rightly so. So is absolutely right. And now this son of a bitch, Dr. John Douchebag Torres, is now trying to reignite this whole thing, but he's not doing it on his own. He's getting direction from the administration.
Exactly.
From the CDC.
That's where we have to make that distinction. This is not something that's happening, acutely. This is something that is a planned issue. It's planned for the holidays. We have Thanksgiving coming up, and again, it's a slap at families. It's a slap at families who want to get together. And again, it's going to be an attack on Christianity come Christmas time. Again, you can't get together. Oh, this bull. It's a virus. If anything, it's a virus. Okay, and we don't, in flu season, we don't stop associating with our families, but it's a great wedge. It's a great way to continue to divide Americans, because it's a way for the Democrat Party to have people live in fear, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Epidemic fears mount as holiday season approaches. That's the headline from the story.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what they learned in the last two years, Vito, is that we the people, when there comes a medical emergency, we will enforce whatever the government says to do, and we will enforce it voluntarily and with enthusiasm against our fellow neighbors and family members. That is power.
It is power. And did you notice that? Now, I heard this on Newsmax today. So you've got Dopey Joe was in China meeting with Xi Jinping, or Ping Zhao Xi. Anyways, he was meeting with the Russian president, Xi, and they were sitting across from each other. So there were two conditions. There was one condition that they could not talk about, and that was Taiwan. And of course, Biden submitted to that because he doesn't really have the backbone, nor the negotiation skills, nor the mental acuity. Okay, but did Biden bring anything up about the Wuhan virus? Nothing. So isn't it ironic that you have the lockdown tyranny mentality of Dr. John Torres, who now is reinstilling fear into the hearts of the American people. And yet you've got Joe Biden, who's sitting across from President Xi of China and doesn't mention one word about the Wuhan virus. One word. And I guys, right. People are still walking around with masks. I walked into a supermarket and I couldn't believe how many people were wearing masks. I could not believe it.
Yeah. I saw it today, too.
Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If this was still so bad, okay, why didn't Biden confront? I mean, he confronted Popcorn. You know, he wanted to confront, he was going to take Trump out back and beat him. And he had an opportunity to confront President Xi of China, and he didn't. And yet you have the scare tactics by this regime to instill fear into the hearts of the American people. And you know what?
Yeah.
American people, let's build back better and take your mask off and throw it down the sewer. Oh, I'm sorry. That's going to inhibit climate change. So, yeah.
And he has no problem attacking supporters of Donald Trump. MAGA people, make America great again people, America first people. He has no problem demonizing us.
No.
Putting us in the crosshairs of Antifa and the far left extremists, the Marxists, violent Marxists.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a brilliant campaign, in my opinion. I think that, I don't know who's running the Republican Party campaigns, and I know Ronan McDaniel is the head of the RNC. But I mean, I'll tell you, they were outmaneuvered once again. And I have to say, it's a brilliant campaign that the Democrats launched, and they used Dopey Joe Biden as their catalyst for it because, of course, he's got the bully pulpit. And his handlers actually wrote a pretty good script, and that was to define or to demonize, you know, MAGA and make the Republican Party, the entire Republican Party, seem that they're part of MAGA. And then you've got Chuck Todd yesterday talking to Pocahontas Warren, senator from Massachusetts, and he talks about real Republicans. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, so there's MAGA Republicans, and of course the DNC distributes their talking points to all their state-run news media outlets, including NBC and MSNBC, CNN, and you've got Chuck Todd calling Republicans normal Republicans. But if you support Donald Trump, or if you support Make America Great, you know, agenda, or Making America Great, let's say, forget about the agenda part, but if you support Making America Great, you're not a normal Republican. Now, I don't know about you, and you know what, big, absolutely great point Bigfoot put in the chat room. As many have said before, never underestimate the Republicans' ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And that is a very good statement, Big, and thanks for putting that in the chat room. The Republicans can do that pretty easily, and I don't know why the Republicans don't fight back. You know, and take a page out of Donald Trump's playbook. Take a page out of Ron DeSantis' playbook. You know, Governor DeSantis, I had this conversation with a friend, And it was, we were talking about the Don't Say Gay bill. The Democrats crafted that slogan, Don't Say Gay bill, as a means to distract and to basically lie to the people of Florida and to the nation as to this bill, as a means to pander to the LGBTQRST community. When in fact, the bill that passed the Florida legislature and signed by the governor, there's not one word in that bill that says anything about gays. Doesn't say don't say gay. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't care what side of the political aisle that you sit on. Let's be honest. And again, be positive. Be honest. Do you want your 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old child, niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter to be taught that human sexuality? I don't. Whatever happened to the innocence of a child and teaching that child reading, writing, and arithmetic? And Governor DeSantis was absolutely correct in punching back against the false narrative that was created by the Democrat Party, who seeks to define the agenda for the United States of America. And there was nothing in that family rights bill that slandered, that even used the word gay in it or homosexual. It's 6 or 7 pages. And a friend of mine said he had a left-wing professor read the bill. And he said, I read the bill in Florida because I'm not a big DeSantis fan. And I took exception to DeSantis's comments until I read the bill. And he said, thank you for sending me a copy of that bill. And I was appalled at the Democrats' attempt to rewrite what the bill stated. And he goes, I love Ron DeSantis for that fact. Here's a guy who went from despising Ron DeSantis to loving Governor DeSantis because DeSantis told it like it was. Now, this is on a state level. On a national level, where in the hell is the Republican leadership? Where in the hell is the Republican leadership? It's time to punch back against this nonsense. And if we truly want our republic to prosper, if we truly want our republic to prosper, it's time for the Republican Party in unison. Forget about MAGA. Forget about this, forget about that. If you're running under the Republican banner, it's time to get organized. Simply by the way that Democrats get organized. Not one Democrat speaks ill of another, except I was very surprised last week at Joe Manchin punching back at Joe Biden for lying. That was unbelievable. Obviously, Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, didn't clear his comments with the DNC because he pulled no punches. Time for the entire Republican Party to stand up and stop with this vanilla noise and stop snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. The American people want fighters, and that's why they flock to Donald Trump. He's a fighter. He believes in the American people. He believes in the American way. Forget about Pennsylvania and why they voted for John Fetterman. Why did they vote for him? I'll tell you why they voted for him, because it's a union state. You're telling me that the people here in New York State voted for Hochul over Zeldin because of MAGA? Bullshit. New York is a left-wing state. That's why you have conservatives. That's why you have people, independents, fleeing the state of New York. It's why they lost two congressional House seats. It's why the state of Florida picked up three congressional House seats. It's why Tennessee picked up a House seat. It's why Texas picked up a House seat. Why did New Jersey and New York and Massachusetts all lose? Because they're a blue state. The same with Pennsylvania. Three, four counties in the state of Pennsylvania drove that entire state's election. Four counties. How many counties are there? There's 60-something counties in Pennsylvania. The same in Arizona. The same in Nevada. 15 counties in Nevada. Four counties dictated the entire outcome of that state's election. Republican Joe Lombardo won the governorship, and somehow Laxalt lost the Senate. Three counties. Now, you tell me that Californians who migrated from California to Nevada for a better life actually got the message when they voted for the Democrat and nearly voted for a Democrat governor in Nevada. There's no way, shape, or form. You know what? It looked like Zeldin was going to win, and you've got a crime problem. You've got the communist problem in New York, and Zeldin got trounced in the end. He won both counties in Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk County. But again, you've got the five boroughs of New York City solidly went for the left wing. So it's no surprise that the Democrat Party has an organized message on TV. You notice now, you know, everybody, all of these news outlets, ABC, NBC, CBS, the public broadcasting system, National Propaganda Radio, all use the same exact terminology, the same. Not one of the DNC state-run media outlets varied from the slogans and the cliches they used. Where are the Republicans? One Republican says this, one Republican says that. Well, you know what? Now you have a chance to rectify part of the problem, and that's in the runoff election, the special election in Georgia Senate. It's time to get on board with Herschel Walker. It's time to get the independents in Georgia to vote for the Georgia Bulldog, and that's Herschel Walker. It's just send a message to Joe Biden that we reject your radicalism. We reject your anti-constitutionalism, and we reject your phony and false narratives. If you believe in making America great, you're not a terrorist. You're simply pro-American. And what's wrong about putting your country first? Huh? What's wrong with God, country, and family? What's wrong with that? Holger says, I theorize that independents in Georgia voted for Kemp, but they didn't vote for Walker because Walker is MAGA. They believe Biden, and they believe the January 6th committee. And I'll tell you something. I think there's a lot of validity to what Holger stated. And there's a reason why the Democrat Party went out of their way to write the six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda, which was written by Jerry Nadler, Congressman of New York. Now, that was written back in 2017. And the Democrat Party has not wavered from this. And the Democrat Party is trying each and every avenue to utilize this very theme. And that theme is they must do everything they can to stop Trump and his agenda. I'm sorry, his extreme agenda. Obviously, the left wing doesn't have an extreme agenda like ridding fossil fuels, which drove fuel prices up. Fuel prices, okay, drive transportation costs up. Transportation costs have driven grocery prices. It has driven all costs that are associated with transportation, including farming. They've driven it up to the point where the American people are hurting. And Joe Biden set a benchmark now. He set the floor at $5 a gallon or $4 a gallon for gas. And gas comes down, 40 cents, and he's pounding his chest. But excuse me, Joe, before you went radical, before you made the extreme decision to take America off of fossil fuels, we were paying $1.89 a gallon. And that was simply, December 30th of 2020. In 21 short months, the extremism, the radicalism of the left wing in America that's led by Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer has created this inflation. And now you've got the chimpanzees of the Democrat Party out there stating, well, corporate profits are up so high, so while while you use the term inflation, that's misleading because it's actually it's the corporate profit. That's bullshit. Don't believe that noise. And challenge these left-wing morons who go out there and talk about, corporate profits are up. Really? Okay, so Pocahontas Warren, you're still receiving $250,000 a year from Harvard University. And you're a sitting senator in the United States Senate who's making at least $175,000 a year. Heaven knows how much other graft you're – I'm sorry, how much else you're making. In the meantime, you've got students entering Harvard University who are having to mortgage their parents' house in order to afford the tuition, that the endowments that Harvard gets really pays for a lot of these tuitions. But the fact remains that Elizabeth Warren is still receiving $250,000 to be on staff at Harvard University. I don't see her cutting her pay back from Harvard. I don't see her taking a dollar a year from Harvard to stay on as a professor while she's in the United States Senate. But somehow Donald Trump is extreme. And Senator Pocahontas Warren jumped on board with Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer that they must do everything they can to stop Trump and his extreme agenda. And to achieve this, depressing Trump's public support is number one goal, and the second goal is to divide congressional GOP from him and from each other. And you can't tell me that Jerry Nadler's six-page manifesto did not come true with that very statement, the very mission of the Democrat Party, to divide congressional GOP from Trump and from each other. And you can name on one hand how many of the rhinos, how many of the pussies in Congress, like Kinzinger, like Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and Senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, how much effort they put in to divide the Republican Party and use January 6th, the phony account that it was an insurrection. And yet we have so much evidence that there were Democrat Party operatives who were helping to cause the January 6th riot, to use that extreme term. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to your representatives, go to your senators and say, your Republican senators, Republican representatives, enough is enough. I want you to fight back. I want you to fight on behalf of the American people. The extremists are the Democrats. The extremists, the anti-constitutionalists of the Democrat Party. It's time to put a stop to this nonsense where Arizona begins to vote on October 12th. We're now at November 14th, and they still can't get the count right. Pennsylvania began voting in September 16th. Excuse me. You're telling me that the people of America need 60 days before a designated election to vote? How fucking lazy have the American people become? It's time that we speak up and say Election Day every 2 years, every even-numbered year, is the first Tuesday following the first Monday as written in subsection 7 of the U.S. Code. If you can't vote one day every 2 years, even-numbered years, we don't want you to vote. Who cares? You don't care enough to go out and vote. You have two avenues to vote, in person or absentee. And there are some people that need to vote absentee ballot. I understand that. You don't have the means to get out. You may not be able to drive. By all means, let's afford those Americans the ability to vote. Let's not have drop boxes on every corner. And then piss and moan when you have a law enforcement in front of those boxes. Well, you know what? Get your butt out on the first Tuesday following the first Monday and vote. And guess what? Be in line by 7 o'clock at night. That's it. Be in line. You don't have to vote by 7. Be in line before 7 p.m. And you will have the right, you will have the freedom to vote. I mean, we have kowtowed to the laziness of the American people. And yet the Democrats are allowed to define the Republican Party. And the Republican Party sits there and takes it. How dare we allow the bashing of people who want to make America great? How we allow two-bit dictator in Washington, D.C. to set the narrative. You're an anti-constitutionalist, Joe Biden. And you've proven that. You're a dictator. And now you're walking around in a Mao outfit? Who in the hell is advising you? You've lost that much of your mental acuity? And why aren't we challenging what Jerry Nadler wrote? The first order of business must be to refuse to allow the normalization of Trump. You can't tell me that every day for 4 years, every day for 6 years, that there hasn't been a mission to denormalize Trump. Now, I know he's got an ego, and I know he shoots off the hip at times. But by God, I'm surprised he's still standing after the character assassination, the assault, the mischaracterization of the man, the maligning of him and his family. And you're right, iGuy. There's no accountability for these despicable acts. There's none. And we have it in black and white what the objective is of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is extreme. We, the people, have the ability now, Georgians, you are we the people, to send a message in this runoff election that you're not going to tolerate radicalism and the anti-constitutional Raphael Warnock. Your own Georgia bulldog is running for the United States Senate, Herschel Walker. Don't let all this outside noise distract. Herschel Walker is a Georgia Bulldog. Herschel Walker is a Georgian. Herschel Walker is a great American. Don't let the Democrat Party define him otherwise. Push back. Enough is enough. That's all I have to say, Al.
How do you really feel?
With my hands. You know, I look at this manifesto by Jerry Nadler, and as much as anytime I want to get pissed at Trump, I just read this manifesto. And when you sit there and you look at the radicalism of the left wing, and we've accepted their radicalism as to be norm, and it's not normal. It's not normal. The radicalism of the left wing is radical. It's anti-American. It's anti-constitutional. We must do everything we can to stop Trump. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a political party, a major political party, who is going after a rival, and they're going to do everything they can to stop him, and they've tried, including fabricating, you know, charges of Russian collusion. I'm not going to go down that road. But then you have two important goals. To achieve this, we must keep our eyes on two important goals: depressing Trump's public support, and you know what? It's happening right now. There is no feud between Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, and Donald Trump. There is none. Ron DeSantis is worried about one thing. He was worried about getting reelected in the state of Florida as governor. Ron DeSantis never said he was running for president. However, the Democrat machine, okay, the destructive Democrat Party is the one that has designed that narrative in order to press Trump's trigger, okay? And Trump and DeSantis have not had a feud. They haven't had an ongoing feud. Nothing. We haven't even been – the 2022 election hadn't even occurred. And the Democrats have been trying to create this narrative that the race for president in 2024 is between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. We don't even know if Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. Why? Because Ron DeSantis was worried about running for re-election of a governor in the state of Florida. And it's time that the Republicans step up and say and tell the Democrats to go straight to hell. Because the destruction they've done just in the last 21 months, and then to allow them to define who your party is, and then you've got Schumer going out there, well, you know, we must go out there and we must act in unity in order to work together. Well, you know what? For 21 months, Chuck, you haven't worked together. You haven't entertained one Republican bill. You haven't entertained one Republican idea when it came to spending $6 trillion, or I should say, pissing away $6 trillion. And then we find out there's $1.1 billion that's unaccounted for by the Biden-Harris regime State Department. $1.1 billion. Now, if the Republicans ever seized an opportunity, it would be right now. Where did $1.1 billion go in Afghanistan? And why, for the first time, this organization is not being held accountable for where $1.1 billion of taxpayer money has gone? It's already pathetic that Biden let go $88 billion, okay, to Afghanistan, and he cut and run. And now there's $1.1 billion that's unaccounted for, and there's no accountability. And then you've got Biden in Colombia, stands up there and says, we're going to, during the climate change ruse summit, and he's going to commit $11 billion to third world countries. Okay, you can't account for $1.1 billion in the State Department, and now you're going to give these third world shithole countries $11 billion? Do you think these dictators are going to use it for climate change? Do you think they're going to put, you know, nuclear power? I'm sorry, they can't use nuclear. You're going to put windmills up, you know, in some pissant village in the third world country? No, these dictators are going to take that money. And yet there's no pushback. Where is the unified message from the Republican Party to say this is a absolute ridiculous idea? These third world countries can't get their act together. They're getting millions, perhaps billions of dollars from the United Nations, the useless nations, and they can't even devise properly sanitary running water. They can't even put infrastructure in, and the United States of America is going to take $11 billion taxpayer dollars and give it to third world countries, unilaterally by dictator Joe Biden, without congressional approval, by the way, because we thought under Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution that it was Congress's responsibility to spend money. Somehow we've gotten away from that as well.
Yep. And giving it to a designated enemy of the United States of America.
Yes.
But Politics USA, on another note, just reported an hour ago that Representative Kevin McCarthy is worried that he doesn't have the votes to be elected Speaker to the House, so he tried to convince Democrat from Texas Representative Henry Cuellar to switch parties, but Cuellar said no. Meanwhile, Matt Gaetz announces he's not voting for Kevin McCarthy, so it looks like we have some interesting updates on the Kevin McCarthy story, and his position may not be as strong as he's letting us being led to believe. That's good.
Milquetoast McCarthy. You know, you want a guy who's part of the institution, part of the cabal? It's Milquetoast McCarthy. You want to send a message? You want to send a message that would absolutely turn the entire Democrat Party on its heels? Yeah, and I heard somebody talking about it today. Go ahead and nominate Donald Trump as Speaker of the House. And then sit there, and before you do that, you tell each and every Republican, I don't care if you're part of the cabal, the institution, you vote for him. You get the 218 necessary votes, and you're going to watch the Democrats jump off cliffs. Because now it's about spending. And you know what Trump would do as Speaker of the House? He would introduce single-issue bills, not a $4 trillion spending spree, you know, that watches the sexual mating habits of shrimp, okay? If you want to spend $1 billion on a project in Alaska, you put it at a single-issue bill. You want an infrastructure bill and you want to redo the roads in Pennsylvania? It's a one-item bill. And you watch these frauds in the House of Representatives go ballistic. You watch Chuck Schumer start pulling a Charlie Rangel and go crazy. It'd be the funniest thing that would ever happen. It really would. You want to turn this – you know, the Democrats want chaos. They enjoy anarchy as they send their armed thugs out to commit crimes and to create civil unrest, and then they blame MAGA for it, which is another farce. And again, that's what I take exception to, that nobody stands up in the Republican Party to call Joe Biden's comments or Chuck Schumer's comments that he entered on the House floor yesterday absolute hogwash and bogus. Or it was on Friday, excuse me. When he enters in, he talks about how MAGA are violent. That's absolute bullshit. And it's time to tell him that. And it's time that we the people, take back this country. And we do it in a positive fashion. We're over this anti-Americanism. We're over this anti-America firstism. There's nothing wrong with putting America first. Biden took America off of fossil fuels intentionally, and he made America dependent. MAD, that's the Democrat Party. They're mad. Make America dependent. Not make America great. Make America dependent. So somehow, make America dependent is not a radical move anymore. Huh? Make America dependent is not radical. But making America great is radical? You know, you've got Cigar, S-I-G-A-R, you know how the left wing loves, or the institutions love, these acronyms, and they can't account for for $1.1 billion of taxpayer money. So this is the Biden administration, okay? So an acronym for SIGAR should be SAT, Screwing American Taxpayers, because that's exactly what the Biden administration is doing. That's exactly what the cabal does, is they screw the American taxpayers. $1.1 billion is unaccounted for. No one's asking any questions. So when does this absconding of money become real money? When should we be concerned? We're not concerned when $1 million is missing. Now we're not concerned with $1.1 billion missing? And where are our representatives all getting together and saying, hey, enough is enough? Where is the $1.1 billion? Why are you screwing the American taxpayer? SAT, screwing the American taxpayer. That's the Democrat Party. That should be the new acronym, SAT, screw the American taxpayer. I mean, hell, they like the acronym SIGAR, cigar. I'm sorry. Cigar stands for the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It's supposed to be a government watchdog established in 2008 to perform oversight on America's $146 billion reconstruction project in war-torn country. And they can't account for, this quarter, they can't account for $1.1 billion of taxpayer money. Yep. Yep. And making America great is supposed to be radical and extreme, when in fact the real extremists are those that are currently in power, and that would be Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. They are the extremists. They've taken us off of energy independence, and somehow making America great is extreme. Well, I, for one, would like to stand up and say it's great to make America great. When America was had the free flow of oil, was the leader in the country, leader, that's the opportunity, the leader of the world when it came to energy. And there's no reason why America can't be the leader once again. But we don't have the right leaders in Washington, D.C. We've got this cabal who's indentured to the world body, who wants to make America dependent. Enough. Enough. So, sorry, Al. I got sidetracked again.
Well, what do you think about this Sam Bankman-Fried? Is a Democrat who was the number two donor after Soros to the Democrat Party with FTX cryptocurrency, and he was busted on his way to Dubai. His company went bankrupt, and he donated like $40 million or $400 million to the DNC, getting arrested on his way to Dubai where they don't have extradition. I wonder if the Democrats will give back any of that money that they got from their second biggest donor, a crypto crook, Sam Bankman-Fried.
I think the answer to that might be a no.
A big no.
You know, isn't it amazing? In 2016, you had – or 2020, excuse me, you had Facebook owners, right, Chen and Zuckerberg, give $435 million to the Democrat Party. In 2016, you had Mini Mike Bloomberg give $100 million to the Democrat Party. In 2018, we find out that Mini Mike Bloomberg was infusing over $60 billion of his money to get Nancy Pelosi reelected as Speaker of the House. And isn't it amazing how these left-wingers drop tens of millions of dollars. I'm sorry, I said $60 billion. It meant $60 million. $60 million, putting tens of millions of dollars into these political races that are paying $175,000 a year. And let's see. What was it? Hold on a second. Okay. So Adam Laxalt raised $15 million for a $175,000 a year job. The Cortez Matos, who was the challenger, and ultimately she was appointed the winner, she raised $52.8 million for a $175,000 a year job. So if you do the math, $175,000 a year times six, that's $1,050,000. So she raised $53 million for a $175,000 a year job. Now you can't tell us, okay? You can't tell we the people that it's not profitable to run for Congress and get elected. I mean, it's truly amazing that that much money can be spent and infused by these left-wingers to ensure that their radical ideology, their anti-constitutional and anti-American ideology, can be the primary source of thought in the United States Congress. Amazing. And in what, in 6 years, now I read an article, and I don't know how true, but I'll throw it out there. In 6 years, this bartender from New York, from the Bronx, who gets elected to the United States House of Representatives, went from a net worth of less than $100,000, is now worth $27 million. And let's see, in 6 years, she's made $175,000 a year on average. So she's made $1 million. And if she had zero expenses, she would have $1,050,000, yet she's worth $27 million. How does that happen?
See, where are the inquiries? Who is doing an investigation on this? I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. When you're making $100,000 a year, and all of a sudden your net worth spikes to $27 million. Even the Pelosi's, yeah, with their insider trader trading, nothing.
Right. Right. $225 million. And they got caught with their hands in the cookie jar with insider trading. Well, we'll just pay that money back. Oh, because you got caught? Someone's hammering away at you and your conscience or what?
Yeah, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. Nothing happens.
Nothing.
And I can guarantee you that when the Republicans take control of the House, they are going to say, because the establishment is going to take control like they always do, they're going to say, well, we don't want to file impeachment charges against President Biden. We don't want to take anybody to court. We're not going to prosecute anything because we don't want to risk losing the presidency in 2024, and nothing will get done. Nothing will change. The bad people will still get away with everything. It's kind of like these Arab Muslim migrants in Amsterdam, as an hour ago, breaking story, they set fire to their publicly funded accommodations after their demands for better accommodations were denied. So the Dutch, by Dutch authorities, so they put them up in apartments free of charge, and they burned them down because they weren't nice enough to them.
They burned down the apartments?
Yeah, it's burning right now. As we speak, this big, beautiful apartment complex is burning to the ground. Huge, huge billows of smoke coming out of the building. Talk about ungrateful.
Right.
But they reap what they sow.
You see, it's never about assimilation, and it's never about integration. And Linda Sarsour of the Muslim Brotherhood fame, you know, she made it quite clear at not the North American Islamic Trust, the Islamic Society of North America, their 55th annual dinner, where it was Linda Sarsour who instructed her fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America. So it's not just America with the assimilation lacks. It's also every other Western democracy. The Dutch, of all people, the Dutch are probably the most gracious people, the most welcoming of people, who are trying to accommodate And there's absolutely zero assimilation by the Islamic migrants that come to their country that are taken in, that the EU wants you to take in. And when Prime Minister Meloni of Italy says we're not taking any more migrants and we're going to find, you know, these boats that come in with migrants, $50,000 each time they come to port, we're not taking any illegal aliens. We're not taking any, zero. And she's being scorched as being a radical. Well, you know what? Tell us about how assimilation works. If in fact, okay, you're here to assimilate and to adopt the laws of our country, you know what? The door is open. But for the most part, the majority of those migrants that are coming in, the illegal migrants that come in, they don't want to assimilate. They have no interest in learning the culture. They have no interest in learning the language. There's no assimilation. And you know, the Dutch and the Swedes have opened up their hearts and their homes. You know, they opened up their country to a better way of life. And it's more of the same. Burning down buildings. Why? Why? You have an opportunity to make a better way of life for yourself. And you're given an opportunity to get out of the shithole that you're in. And that welcome mat. Wow.
Well, you remember all the problems that Mayor Giuliani was in, possible arrests? Well, according to Jonathan Turley, Mayor Giuliani will not be charged after agents were sent to gather 16 electronic devices in a raid on his home. The necessity of the raid still raises serious questions, as does the odd scope of seized material. However, the media destroyed Giuliani after this. No, he will not be charged.
Giuliani has a copy of the hard drive of Hunter Biden's laptop. And now all of a sudden he's being attacked, you know, by a political opponent, which is the Biden administration, is going after political opponents. And somehow we don't see where the Fourth and the Sixth Amendment have been violated. And this is what I'm talking about when you talk about anti-constitutionalists. You know, where is Lindsey Graham getting on the Senate floor denouncing the tactics by a partisan regime in Washington, D.C.? Where is the entire United States Senate led by McConnell speaking out in outrage against the Biden-Harris regime going after political opponents, weaponizing the DOJ to go after a political opponent? Where? Isn't it time? It's time.
Time?
Yeah, it's time.
Time to make the donuts?
It's time. You know, why isn't this climate change ruse being exploited, okay, by members of the United States Congress? Here it is. This is in Geon Watch, okay? Again, Robert Spencer is on the cutting edge of things. So the Bill Gates and the world order wants you to stop eating meat and eat bugs. Remember that? We talked about that about 2 weeks ago. Well, it turns out that at this climate change ruse summit, the COP27 climate summit that's going on in Egypt, there's another shithole. The world leaders who are attending this climate change scam, they're not eating bugs. They're eating gourmet meat. Who's paying for this? Who's paying for this? Those with taste for luxurious can snap up Angus beef medallions with sautéed potatoes for a pricey $100 or a creamy salmon for $40 after scoffing back a $50 seafood platter for starters. But you, listen, you little people, listen to the United Nations, and it's time to change your diet and eat edible insects to get the high quality of protein. While we, the elitists, snack on Angus beef medallions with sautéed potatoes and creamy salmon and a seafood platter. I mean, is that hypocrisy at its best or what?
Or the 400 private jets that they flew in for this man-made climate change conference. 400.
Oh.
Talk about hypocrisy.
Were these all electric planes, Al?
I don't think so. I think it was carbon-based, and why didn't they just get together and charter a jet, fly together? They're concerned about the man-made climate change. Hypocrisy. This has nothing to do with man-made climate change. It's all about control, power, and money.
That's right.
Bringing America down a few notches, because Egypt, as you know firsthand, is one of the dirtiest countries in the world, at least in the top 10.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, my God. It was, you know what? It was actually a great history lesson to see. I mean, if you have an opportunity to go, and I'm not sure that it's as civil as it was, you know, back about 10 years ago, but it was, ladies and gentlemen, man, it's a dirty country. And we're in Cairo. There was not one stoplight, There were police at the major intersections. And when they would stop, they would stop traffic and they let other traffic go. Once they would let the traffic go, three lanes of traffic turned into four lanes some way. And a matter of fact, I believe the bus we were in got hit. You know, somebody tapped into it and nothing.
We also saw dead animals floating down the Nile.
A dead horse.
And kids playing in dumps and 5 feet of garbage, no exaggeration.
Oh my
it was
God.
So sad. Yeah,
it was. They had an entertainment setup. They had a merry-go-round. They had a swing set. It was all on top of garbage. They were on top of garbage. I mean, wow. And you want to talk about climate change? Go ahead.
Yeah, and later we found out that it was primarily Christians that were put into these ghettos, these garbage-filled ghettos, because the only work that a Christian can get in Egypt is going through garbage and doing the lowest of the low jobs, like in Pakistan.
Yeah, you had apartment complexes, and it was a big. There were apartment buildings. And in between the apartment buildings are vacant land. And in that vacant land, you had garbage. It was right there. And layers of garbage, to the point where kids had their carousels, swing set, and slides that they were playing on. And they were quite happy, but it was all atop of garbage. And
yep.
And the streets, remember the street lines? They were all dirt streets with clothes hangers or clotheslines between two buildings with clothes being hung outside.
Yep, buildings only three quarters finished, because if the builder finished the remaining floors, then they would be charged taxes, so they just stop building. And then people literally squat within these buildings all throughout the city. Man-made climate change elites coming in 400 private jets disgust me, and the hypocrisy of it all.
We were driving down the highway, and you look up and you see this big apartment building, and it would have two staircases with nothing around it, just going up to the sky. Two staircases. And then you go, as you're going down, the road would veer to a little bit to the right or left, and you look up, there's another apartment building, and there's two or three staircases going up with nothing, no building on it. There were three staircases. It was like, we're looking at it going, what the hell is that? And it was one building after another that the incomplete construction of the building just had empty stairwells going up to the sky. Like a stairway to heaven, I guess. They were all Led Zeppelin fans.
I guess so. So everybody, contact your representative, your congressperson, and tell them to vote no for Kevin McCarthy as speaker. And follow up. Takes 5 minutes. Easy to do.
I believe Biggs is who they're trying to promote. Is Andy Biggs is a speaker of the House. So anybody, any Republican aside from, you know, McCarthy, I personally like Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. That would be one hell of a pick, but that probably will never happen. The cabal will not want that. But you know, Milquetoast McCarthy, you know, he's sweating right now, and I've heard the name Liz Cheney bandied about. But hell, if you're going to go outside the House, you might as well go with Donald Trump.
That would be an interesting twist on things, but I don't think he'll do that. I don't think he'll give up the presidency for second place. Just not in his nature.
He doesn't need the headaches. That guy is just, he's wearing
Kevlar. He loves America.
Man. He does.
Loves America.
So, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night we've got the Crossing the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Polly Sports at 5:30 Eastern Time. Hank and his posse will be talking college football as it's winding down. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report on Thursday. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. If you don't have your copy, go to Amazon.com or go to Paul Sutliff's website and purchase it. Great book. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Check out Andrew's show as well as Andrew's writing in Jihad Watch and PajamaMedia.com. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. They start at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to understand Islam, if you want to understand it from the Arabic perspective, Minister Dakduk speaks Arabic as well, which is the greatest threat to the Muslim Brotherhood and their operatives in the United States. Sunday, you've got the Interfaith Dialogue with the Cross the Crescent back. And then Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Airwaves America, G-Ski. Keep G-Ski in your prayers. It's nice to see G-Ski back on Twitter. And I hope and pray he's doing well. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio with our great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Check them out on Fridays at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, you can check out Andy. She's on YouTube as well. I was watching her and Curtis on YouTube. It's pretty cool. And if you want a break from politics and from Islam and the stress of politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Joshua does a great job, great self-help, great motivator, and make sure if you exercise as well. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, check out Audrey's show on Thursdays, 8 p.m. at AudreyRusso.com. She usually has about 3 guests, and her co-host, Mr. Cookie, is great. He gives some great monologues, so check out Audrey Russo at AudreyRusso.com. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bring it on, boy. Ducky Northwest. Hi, Guy. Nice to see you, Guy. Sue from New Mexico. Good to see you, Sue. Hope you're doing well. And I want to say hello to everybody on the podcast out there listening. So thank you all for joining us. Al, any parting shots?
Bye for now, and watch your gaseous emissions and do your part to curb man-made climate change.
Eat meat. Good night, everybody. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. God bless you guys. Thank you for listening to us. Ciao.
It was my way.
Boom. Right
down to the second, like a consummate professional.
I can count. I'm a product of PS42 in New York.
Your skills are underappreciated by the people of the United States of America.
I can count. I can read a clock. I want to thank all of my teachers. I want to thank my mother and my father. I was reading through the election. I've had some pretty good conversations with Sue and also Holzer with regards to the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, while they're disappointing, it was not surprising. But then you look at the midterms and you look at the voting per state, and I wasn't aware that Pennsylvania started voting on September 16th.
I didn't know that either. That was interesting.
Yeah, and it's alarming, you know. And they had a debate. Okay, so the Senate debate was in October. So you've had somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 people vote before the debate. Now, you can't change that. So, you know, it's a pretty coy move on the part of the left wing to continue to push the envelope further back and to have these early votings and to make sure people get out there and vote. And of course, the Democrat Party does a great job of getting their people out to vote and instruct them how to vote. And that's where things have to change. And you know what? People are upset about what happened. There are a lot of people who don't like the outcome of the midterms. It was not totally unexpected. It really wasn't. You know, I think that to be surprised on it, there were a couple of things that were pretty telling, that it was not going to go that way. And I'll tell you what did it for me was when McConnell came out and he made the statement that we don't, you know, he's concerned because we don't have the quality of candidates.
Yep.
You would never, ever hear the Democrat Party chair or the Senate majority leader even make a statement like that. Chuck Schumer would never, ever utter those words. They'll get behind every crazy and radical and communist that comes to their party. And for McConnell to say that, it just tells me how anti-Trump the guy is. And his the money where he doled out money to candidates for the U.S. Senate was another clear indication of how much he despises Trump.
Yep. Yeah, hell, Pelosi's on the airwaves saying what a great president Biden is.
Yeah. Now, I know that the beg against Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, is that she's an alcoholic, but that has got to be the most disingenuous statement ever. But you know what, Al?
Yeah.
Isn't it here? You have the Democrats absolutely cover for each other. I don't care what anybody says. We are defining two parties: Democrats and Republicans. And the Republicans feel like that they have to take the high road at things. And it's okay to deviate and to be that person. And boy, by God, I really do like that. But then you look at Alaska. Why are there two Republicans running for U.S. Congressional seat one? When you have a high-profile name, somebody as Sarah Palin, who's got a proven track record in Alaska, who was an excellent mayor and a great governor, and you've got the powers to be to make sure that you dilute her vote, and now you've got some Democrat left-winger who just walks into that seat and he wins by 50,000 votes. You know, and the narrative, of course, is, well, look at the mandate the Alaskan people sent and the message they sent in the U.S. congressional seat one. They didn't send a mandate. It was purposely designed to split the Palin vote to make sure that Sarah Palin did not get elected. You've got Begich getting 52,000 votes, and you've got Palin getting 57,000 votes. You're telling us that this was not a designed effort to squash Sarah Palin and Donald Trump? It's time to start calling these people out. You know, why is it that
nobody's
McConnell,
listening?
Huh? I know. Well, you know what?
The leadership's not listening. And,
they aren't.
And now they're turning against Trump, who's the one person who was speaking out against these people. And now Republicans are like, oh, well, I'm all ready to back DeSantis, even though he hasn't even put his hat in the ring, because he'll be different. And like you said in the show, which was spot on brilliant, is that the Democrats, it was odd that they did not attack DeSantis at all during the whole race.
Nothing.
They pretty much left
all.
Crist out to dry. They just left him out to dry, which is fine because he's unelectable anyway. So they probably paid him off somehow, I suspect. But they did not. Yeah, when they didn't go after Governor DeSantis, prime target number one around the nation. He's America's governor. And I never thought about it until you mentioned it. It was the absence of attacks that never happened. And I think that made the Republicans think, oh, wow, they're not even attacking DeSantis. I can get behind them and people will still like me.
Correct. And it's all by design. I'll make you another prediction.
Yep.
You want to talk? You said that.
Yeah,
that
that's Charlie, what I guy said. It's all by design. He was 100% right.
So
yeah,
Charlie
what's your
Crist.
Prediction?
Okay, so Charlie Crist is a sacrificial lamb, right? Okay, so he did the party. He did the party loyalty thing. Okay, he had no agenda to run on. He only ran on one thing, and that was women's rights. That was the only plausible thing he ran on. Oh, and he did say that DeSantis was running for president, but DeSantis never had mentioned that. But I think that as a reward to Charlie, Charlie will get a position in Washington, D.C., an appointed position, and that position will probably be somewhere in the Department of Transportation, I think. It could be under Secretary of Transportation, under Pete Buttigieg. Watch. He'll get some sort of reward because he can't run for the United States House now because that's over for 2 years. So either Charlie goes back to the law firm there, those trial lawyer whores, or he gets an appointed position in Washington, D.C. And I think he's going to get a position in Washington, D.C. as a reward for playing the part of a candidate for the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, you got to respect their tactics and their ability to play politics. You really do.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it starts to, and you know what? You have to call it out and you have to start exposing it. You know, they're not doing things by error. This is all by design.
Mm-hmm.
How does Biden go 1 year without saying a word about the rise in gas prices, the rapid rise going from $1.89 a gallon to $4 a gallon? How does he not say a word for a year? And he's protected species, okay, by the DNC state-run media and by the entire Congress. He's a protected species. There's a few outliers who are upset over this, but he says nothing. And then the Russia-Ukraine war hits, and suddenly this is Putin's war. This is Putin's inflation. Well, no, where were you before that? Where were you before Putin invaded Ukraine in February? You had a whole year to talk about the rapidly rising cost of fuel, which impacted not only the American taxpayer house budgets, but it also the trucking industry. Now we have diesel fuel shortages, and you're blaming this whole thing on Putin. But what happened in the 12th? Because Biden and his regime were establishing a benchmark, and that benchmark for pricing wasn't $1.89 a gallon; it was $4 a gallon. And suddenly you've gotten Phony Joe pounding his chest when gas is at $3.34 a gallon because it came down 60 cents a gallon, supposedly. I haven't seen $3.34 a gallon, by the way. But he's pounding his chest and he's taking a victory lap, but it's still double of what it was when he took office.
Yeah, he's like, perfect. Raised it on everybody. Mm-hmm. 200%, let's say, and then it drops 5%, and then he says, I am stopping inflation, I am fixing this problem. but I created it in the first place, you dumbass.
And that's where the Republicans need to change their strategy. That's the real change of strategy, is to get a unified voice, and enough is enough. The issue is you have the Democrat Party who's demonizing you and defining you, and you're accepting that. And you know what? You can't do that anymore. Enough is enough. It's time that we start taking the reins back, and we start defining who the radicals and the extremists are, and it's the Democrat Party who's the radical and extremist and the anti-constitutionalist.
Yeah, but the only person that did it was Trump. He's the only one that got traction with it, I should say, because he was the president. He used Twitter to bypass the media because they had to report on his tweets.
That's right.
Yeah, until he got kicked off of Twitter, and now he's back on Twitter after Musk bought Twitter.
No, I haven't seen him on. I haven't seen it. Have you seen his tweets? I have not.
I did, and then I didn't, so I don't know. I did see him.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you.
But I'm looking for him now, but I haven't seen him. I was looking for him today, but I didn't see him. So.
Okay.
But they got us. They own us. They own the media. The power of the media is strong.
It really is. It really, you know, they did, and here's a good example, too, of the power of the media. So Carrie Lake was the center of attack by the left-wing media, by the media. They attacked her constantly, you know, an election denier. And she eloquently, I think she articulated and eloquently handled the media with regards to their attacks on her. But they totally avoided Hobbs, and Hobbs avoided Lake. And one day I was watching one of the Sunday news when she was on, Katie Hobbs was on, and I realized why Katie Hobbs avoided Carrie Lake. Katie Hobbs is inarticulate. She is really a goof. And then you see the theatrics that's going on in Arizona with regards to counting ballots and election. And Katie Hobbs is the Secretary of State, which is in charge of elections in the state of Arizona. Now, they began voting. Arizona's began voting October the 12th, and they're not done counting yet. And that's a direct reflection of how inept the Secretary of State is for that state. And now they want to elevate that mediocre broad to governor. And that's just incredible.
Failure. She's a failure.
Yeah.
And she's afraid. She's afraid. She's afraid of Carrie Lake. Because
yes,
Carrie Lake
she is.
She has media savvy, I guess people are saying. All I know is that when she spoke, her temperament, her tone, everything was perfect. And she's a beautiful woman to boot and smart. She's the whole package.
Speaking of beautiful women and smart women, Sue has her hand up. Thank you, Sue, for dropping that text. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hey, Sue.
Hey. Hey, hi. Al, I want to let you know what's going on with Trump and Twitter. What has happened is that Elon Musk has unsuspended Trump, but for Trump to come back on Twitter, he has to request it, and he hasn't. There's a couple of fake accounts that are going around, but that is not Donald Trump.
Oh, well, thanks for correcting me. I saw a couple of them, and then they disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and, you know, I was really curious, and it took me, like, probably an hour or two after your last show. It was like, I got to find this out. And anyway, going through that and then going through, you know, like Trump's site and everything, he's going to stick with his, I don't know what it's called, Truth
Social.
Site or something. Yeah, Truth Social. And he still doesn't have that up for Android, so I'm not sure what's on there. But,
well, I'm sorry my fake news had you waste an hour of your life, but thank you for correcting me.
No, it wasn't fake news or anything, because I've heard the same thing, and I was like, you know, what's going on? And I've been kind of looking for him and everything. So after the last show, it was like, man, I'm going to find Trump. He's got to be there. Anyway, that's what I found out.
Well, thank you. That's good to know. I appreciate the correction.
Well, what do you think? Also, I want to know, what do you think about Biden investigating Musk now?
Well, I saw the quote, and he didn't come out and say, he said it's worthy, that Musk is worthy of investigation, whatever that means. That means that there's probably an investigation ongoing, but I don't know enough about it to really have an opinion. What's your thought? Oh, she just dropped.
Oh,
I wanted to hear what Sue had to say.
Yeah, I find it pretty suspect again. You know, Al, you can't help but think that you've got this guy going after political opponents, and it's like, why would they even entertain that when in fact you have an issue under the previous regime who was silencing opposition, political opposition, silencing the free press. I heard all that noise. Oh, well, you know, this is a situation where it's a private enterprise. Excuse me. You know, you've got this mission of going after people for speech and shit, and you're telling us that you can't find a reason to start investigating Twitter and the fact that they're manipulating, you know, opinion and news. But now Elon Musk is fair game? I mean, come on.
I mean, Nazi Germany went after his opponents. That's like fascism, the definition. Yes.
The true fascists are the Democrats. Well, I think he lost too. Have a gun. Okay. Well, I got to run, so.
All right. Well, you have a great week. Good show,
thanks,
as always.
As well. Yeah, I'll talk
and
to you this
Sue,
week.
Yeah, and Sue, we're sorry you got dropped, but hold that thought till next Monday.
All right, I'm going to let her know.
Okay.
All right. All right, Al. Have a good one.
You too.
That's all, folks. Thank you, Music Box.